We turn to the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 11 for our reading, the Word of God. And I read from the verse 14 through to the verse 28. This is God's holy word. Come, let us hear his holy, infallible word. And as he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house fallen. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armour wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in, and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice, and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. This is God's holy word. And may the Lord truly reveal it to our very needful hearts here tonight. And may he do so for the glory of his holy name and for the everlasting good, the salvation of our never dying souls. The young people, please turn with me in your Bibles to that portion of God's Word which I read to you in your hearing, Gospel of Luke, the chapter 11. And I want to particularly take the verse 27 and 28 for my text this evening. And I want to draw your attention there as I read them again. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In these verses, young people, we have, first of all, a woman, an unnamed woman, who is in the midst of this vast crowd where the Lord Jesus Christ has just removed. He has just cast out a devil from a man, and here is a woman that cries out, an unnamed woman, and she speaks words of approval, approbation to the Lord Jesus, and she says to him, blessed be the womb that bare thee, and the paps that gave thee suck, or the breasts that fed you when you were a little child. She is full of praise, full of adulation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to her with a very searching response. Perhaps not the kind of response that many of the people would have expected all around. After her giving such praise, he turns it round and he says, no, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, this is fundamental. This is absolutely essential for us to understand the gospel. to understand salvation, really what salvation is about. The gospel is about being saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, no, rather, it's not blessed to be my mother, because that is what she's saying. Blessed must be Mary. Blessed must be your mother. She must be so blessed. No, no, he says, that's not what it is to be blessed. Blessed, rather, are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And that's where I want to focus our attention tonight, because this whole theme, if you like, is pointing to whether we have salvation or not, whether we are blessed of God. Now, it is very important that I set before you the context in which we find this verse, because we're not going to get the full force of these words of the Lord Jesus. They will come to us with greater force as we consider now the setting in which we find them spoken to this woman in this vast crowd where he has been ministering and performing wonders and miracles and signs. It sounds like a very deflating answer that he gives her, but it is very instructive to our hearts here tonight, especially if we're not saved, especially if we don't know the Lord. So let me set before you the context. If you notice in the verse 14, we read of the mighty work of the Lord Jesus Christ casting out a devil. And it is amidst people that are criticizing him, people that are seeking to put him to death, people that are seeking to try to trip him up and find something to give the religious leaders in Israel cause to put God the Son to death. They are jealous, they're envious of him, and you notice in the verse 14, and he, that is the Lord Jesus, was casting out a devil, and it was done. And we notice, and it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. This man had been in silence for so long. Now all of a sudden, he can speak. And you notice in the verse 15 that there are those critics, vehement critics of the Lord Jesus. And they say that some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub. That's another name for the devil, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him or testing him, sought of him a sign from heaven. So here in these two verses, you have in this context in which these words are spoken, you have those that are accusing him of being in league with the devil, saying that he is an evil man. And then there are others who ask for another sign. They're saying, well, it looks a reasonable miracle that you've done, but we want to see more. And a sign from heaven means perhaps make one of the constellations move. Do something in the skies to show that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Do something. We want to see further evidence. And so we see here immediately there are two categories of people. And then, of course, as you know, there are his disciples, those who followed him, the 12. Now, of course, we know one of them was no true disciple, Judas. But there were those that were aligned to him. They had been following him in his ministry, believing him. They had seen all these things. And remember, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So there were those that were his disciples. And as we've seen here, there were those that were vehemently opposed to him. They stood against him. And then there were these skeptics who wanted further evidence. So we have seen so far there are three, if you like, groups of people. And then, lo and behold, we have read of this woman in the verse 27 there. This woman who cries out in the midst of the crowd, blessed be the womb that bare thee and the paps that gave thee suck. Here is a woman that seems to be behind him. This woman seems to show great admiration for him. And she sang praises of his mother Mary. How blessed Mary must be. But she is not, as far as we know, a disciple. So there are three, perhaps four groups of people here. But amidst all of this, I want you to notice, the Lord Jesus says, no, no, there aren't three or four categories of people, but there are only two. Notice what he says in the verse 23. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. In other words, you're either aligned to me, you are with me, and you're gathering with me, or you're not with me, and if you're not with me, you're against me. As far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, there are only two categories of people in this world. There are either those that are in his kingdom and have aligned themselves to him, or they're against him. Like these skeptics here. Let's see another sign. It seems that they are showing some signs of positiveness towards the Lord Jesus. But he says, no, no. Don't misunderstand. There are only two kinds of people. My disciples or not. You're either with me, and if you're not with me, you are scattering. You're actively working against me, whether you feel it, whether you realize it or not. He says, this is the case. Just as there are in this room, I can say there are boys or young men and young girls, and I could draw a line down the room with a great bit of chalk. And I would say, boys, get that side, girls, get that side. And there would be an immediate parting. And there would be nobody standing on the line. No innocuous ifs. And it's the same way. And the Lord Jesus Christ describes too here that there are also two kinds of people in the world. He describes two kingdoms. He says, my kingdom. And then there's Satan's kingdom. He speaks about this as he heals this man. And he says, the kingdom of God has come. If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, he said, surely the kingdom of God or of heaven has come upon you. But he says, you need to realize something else. There is another kingdom. There are only two kingdoms. And either people belong to the one kingdom or the other. Now the Bible is very clear, young people. That people in this world, we may not like this truth, we may not like this reality. If you were to read Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 2, the Bible tells us that we come into this world with our minds blinded by the prince of the power of the air. He is called the God of this world. And we, by nature, we come into this world as belonging to the kingdom of darkness. If we are not saved, we're under Satan's grip. And the Lord Jesus is saying here, there is only one of two kingdoms. He's been saying through all of this, the great need of the person is to be saved by him. He uses the illustration of this man that has had the devil cast out of him as what God needs to do in a person's soul. A man can so clean up his life, but a man is only worse when he tries to clean himself. Because after that, the devil will further delude him into greater sin. So we come to this passage here now, where no sooner does he finish speaking in the verse 27, that this woman in the midst of the crowd, we don't know her name, she lifts up her voice in the crowd, and she says, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. Now, this was not a normal thing for a woman, whether young or old, to do. To cry out in public like this, this was not the done thing. But this woman is so filled with admiration and adulation for his mother. How blessed it must be to be Mary, his mother. But we ask the question, what has gripped her mind? Has it been the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has said? Is that what she says? Was it his profound works of casting out a devil and then healing people and all the miracles that he has done so far? Dealing with these false religious leaders also with such great authority, silencing them. Was that what gripped her? Was it how he told that people could be saved? Well, if you notice, her words was not the truth about what the Lord Jesus had spoke about. But she said, rather, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps or the breasts which thou hast sucked. Her mind, you see, was full of thoughts of how wonderful it must have been to be Mary, his mother. How honoured it must be to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman is thinking perhaps how many would have thought how wonderful it would be to have such a famous son. How a wonderful and greatly blessed life must be. But she has paid no attention, at least it seems from the text, from what he has said. That hasn't gripped her heart. She was taken up with this commotion and all the moving of the crowd, and it seems that all of her enthusiasm is based on a kind of external or material appreciation of the Lord Jesus. She certainly thinks he's a wonderful person and everybody's admiring him. But as to the details of what he's been saying, she's not being paid attention at all. She's just taken up with all this euphoria. What a wonderful orator, how different he was compared to the scribes, and how blessed it must be to be this man's mother. Now, this woman is like many in the world. They see something to be gained, and it's always the grass on the other side. I would like to have this. I wonder what it would be like to be like Mary and to have such a great son. But she is not concerned. She doesn't seem to be concerned about what he had said. Young people, the Lord Jesus Christ did not come into this world to be admired. He came into this world to tell people of great, profound truths that they need to hear. And this is why he says, blessed are they, rather, that hear the word of God and keep it. The Lord Jesus is the Saviour, and Mary, she needed a Saviour. Mary was a sinner, like every other woman, like every other man, like every other boy. But she doesn't seem to be concerned about what he had said. Now, again, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, I mentioned this a moment ago. The Lord Jesus, just bear in mind, has been casting out a devil from a man. And he has just been talking about how foolish it is if a person tries to effect some outward change in their life. Because that does not mean you're saved. It's like somebody just cleansing, but he says it gets even worse. The devil comes back. You may think you've cleaned up yourself, but he comes back and he makes matters far worse. In Ephesians 2:2, we are told this is how we come, how people come into this world. They come with hearts and minds deceived by Satan. We walk according to the prince of the power of the air. This is what he's been dealing with. He said, you're either with me or you're against me. And in this passage, the Lord Jesus explains how, as I said, the devil can come back and make a person far worse than when he began. Many people try to clean up their lives and make good, but we cannot. We need the Lord Jesus, and this is what he's been teaching. In that whole passage, this casting out of this devil from this man, he says, you know what? It's like this, unless I, who the stronger than the strong man, the devil is the strong man, but Christ is the stronger than the strong man. And when he saves somebody, he truly changes that heart. He, as it were, he puts a new heart into somebody. It's a work of God. And this woman has totally missed the point. And the point is this, that sinners need to be born again. They need to be made anew. He says, in effect, if you try to clean out your old heart as you may, you'll only be worse. Your old sins will come back, and the devil just deceives you with all of your self-righteousness. You are a sinner before a holy God, and your sins, as it were, need cleansing. You need to be born again, and you need God the Son to come and to live in your heart. And you see, the fact of the matter is, people can hear the word of God and not keep it. And that is because they don't have a new heart. That is because they're not born again. The devil who influences the hearts and minds of all lost people is what Ephesians 2:2 and verse 3 tells us, has come and he has blinded people's minds and people's hearts. And they try to clean up themselves in life, and in effect, They think that they are clean before God, but they're in a worse place. You're either with me or you're against me. Now the implication and the application of what he has done and what he has said is that sinners need God's mercy. Now here's the thing. You cannot keep the word of God unless you repent. And to repent means to turn from your sins. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. But sinners won't keep it unless they are given a new heart to obey that. And even this, to even understand it. To truly hear with a heart. This woman is rather taken up with all this commotion. What a joy it must have been to be his mother. And you might be somebody who's a young person in the church and you think well of the Lord Jesus. You put him on a great high pedestal and you think so much of him. But do you hear the word of God and do you keep it? See, that's the issue, isn't it, with regards to salvation. Hearing the word of God and keeping it. You see, this woman wasn't convicted that she was on the dark side. She was in the other kingdom. This is what he's been dealing with. He said, you're either with me or you're against me. And that's what we need to settle in our minds. If we are not saved, we're under Satan's grip. And that is a very frightening thought. The Lord Jesus didn't say there's a grey area. He didn't say, young people, if you're not saved, you're in this neutral zone. Like this woman seems to be, full of praise to him. He didn't say there's a neutral zone. He said there are two kingdoms. You're either in my kingdom or you're in Satan's kingdom. And those who do not hear the word of God and keep it are not blessed. Now again I come back to this. To keep the word of God is not going to make you a Christian. It's not going to make you a Christian. Where you begin is by repenting and coming to God and confessing that you've sinned, that you've done wrong in his sight, that you've broken his laws, and that you are worthy of his hell and judgment. That's what repentance is. It's not only knowing and feeling that you've done wrong, but it's coming to God and telling him. And then when that happens, that is when he cleans out, as it were, and puts a new spirit in the heart. But that doesn't happen before repentance. The order of salvation is always repentance and faith. So don't try to be the hearing and doing, but rather come and repent. Remember when the Lord Jesus began his ministry, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And to repent means to acknowledge that you have not obeyed him, that you have gone your own way in your life, that you've done your own thing. You have not obeyed him. And that's what the first thing you need to repent of. You have not kept God's word. All of his commandments you've broken, as I have broken. And that we must do. We must repent to him and say to him, Lord, I call upon you to save me. I'm not telling you that's the words you should pray, but you must tell him that you've sinned and ask him to save you and to come in as he did this man's heart. We can't see what he did in this man's heart, but we can see the effects of it. He was a man that couldn't speak. His sin had so gripped him. He was under such power of the evil one. And believe me, Satan can have great power, and he has far greater power than we know. And he influences people terribly. I mean, you only have to look out in the world and see what is going on to say that there is a devil. A school friend I went to school with, I got an email today from some of my friends at school. He was decapitated 2 days ago by two people who had kidnapped him. And you tell me this world is not full of sin? Why do young people take drugs and abuse their bodies? Why do people abuse their wives and their families? Why is there so much trouble in the world? It's because of sin. And people, young people, you, as a sinner, have sinned against God, and you must repent of the things that you have done. Because God is a holy God, and you need to ask him to have mercy on you. You may not have committed such heinous things in your life, but all sin is sin before God's eyes. He cannot tolerate any sin. And you see, the Lord doesn't even reply to her comment, "Blessed are the wombs that bear thee." He doesn't even refer to his mother. It's not blessed to be Mary. It's not blessed to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your brother either. But it's to be in his kingdom. It's to be saved. It's to have forgiveness of your sins. And to be such a person that hears the word of God and keeps it. But let me tell you, young people, that will only happen when you are saved. Will you keep God's word? You will not keep God's word until you're saved. Your great need is to repent of your sins and to call upon the Lord for mercy. And this is underlying in all that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He says, these people, blessed are they rather. In other words, blessed and only are they blessed that hear my word, hear my commandments and do them. And only the children of God do them. They don't do them perfectly, but they do them because they love the Saviour, because of what he did for them. It's not blessed to just admire the Lord Jesus. And maybe you've been a young person, you've been going to church as long as you can remember. There never was a time you can't remember when you went to church. And you've always had such great admiration for the Lord Jesus. You may even say you love him. You may even say you think of him more than anything else. But young people, that is not even enough. Even to acknowledge that he is God the Son, that is not enough. The need is to repent, to turn from your sin, and to ask him for that heart that you may be not only hearers of God's word, but keepers of his word. You not see that, young people? It's so essential. Because you see, you can be so deceived, like this woman. She's full of approval, she's full of approbation of the Lord Jesus. But she's a lost person. And you can be like that here tonight. Let me say, first of all, what does it mean to hear the word of God and keep it? Well, firstly, it means this. The Lord Jesus says the word of God. He is the word of God. He is the word made flesh. And everything he says, he speaks of the Father. And everything he says is true. And everything he says must be obeyed. It is to receive the word of God from Christ with the absolute authority that it comes with. And all the claims that he makes over your life, you must hear it and you must keep it. You must receive him as God the Son, as the only way to the Father, as the only way to have acceptance with God. Remember what he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's what it is to receive the word of God. He is the living word. He is the word that was made flesh. And young people, there are only two kinds of people. There are those that are doers of God's word and those that aren't. There are those that are in his kingdom or they belong to Satan. It's here in the passage. It's what he says. There are two kingdoms. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. And you see, the word of God proclaims this right from the beginning. Look at our first parents, Adam and Eve in Genesis. Satan deceived them. God came to save. And there is, the Bible calls, the seed of the woman, which are Christ's people. And there is those who do not belong to him. He belonged to the prince of this world. And this woman, although full of praise to him, she didn't realize what kingdom she was in. It's a frightening thing, isn't it? To think. You know, there are many people, especially young people, you might think like this, who have a high regard for the Lord Jesus. And you put him right up there. But you don't put him as the final authority and submit to that authority. You know, it's one thing to give him authority, but to submit to that authority that he has and the claims that he makes over our lives is an entirely a different thing. And the great need is to repent of the very fact that you have not done that all your life up until now, if you're unsaved, that you have not honoured him as God the Son. And it's time to bow the knee and to confess that he is Lord. You know, when we're young, we discover our opinions were only formed because of the relationships that we've had with other people. Other ideas have rubbed off on us, and well, we're quite humbled by it. Do you know, most people have more or less the same ideas of God, and they're all foolish until God opens their eyes. This word of Christ is final. He is God the Son, and he must be obeyed. This woman was only looking at Christ from a mother's perspective. What it must be to be his mother. Just to be admired. And you see, what is that? What's coming in there? Pride. Wanting to be well thought of. No concern for her soul. That here is somebody that is able to deal with people's souls and to save them. Dear young people, it's a solemn thing that she see that she was a sinner and needed to repent. I don't see that from her words. He says to her, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And to keep it is to embrace it with a whole heart. Now if you just turn with me for a moment to John 8:51. What does it mean? And what are the effects of keeping God's word? The Lord Jesus Christ here, he is addressing the religious leaders of his day. And he says in John 8:51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now just keep your finger there for a moment. Let me pause for a moment and interject something. The Lord Jesus Christ here is not speaking about physical death. But he says, a man, if he keep my saying, he shall never see death. But rather he is speaking here of what the book of the Revelation tells us, the second death. That is after the judgment, and our souls are cast away from the presence of God. And young people, remember this. You not only have a body, but you are a soul. You are a living soul. My friend that was killed, he has a soul. Although the body is now gone and is going to the grave, he has a never dying soul. And if we die without Christ, we die in our sin. And so I pick up again. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And then the verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You see what's being said here? The Lord Jesus is I am. He is God. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ. He rejoiced to see his Savior. The Lord Jesus is God who created all things. And he is telling these people that they belong to the devil, their father the devil. And if we don't believe, that's who we belong to. We're in his kingdom, we're under his power, we're under his grip. And you may admire the Lord Jesus. You may think well of him. But see what he says of sinners. You're in that state, in that kingdom, is you will not repent. It begins, salvation begins with repentance. And these people would not repent. And the Lord Jesus says to them, except ye repent, ye shall perish. Blessed are they that hear my words and keep them. Yes, but you know where he begins? He begins with repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can't be a Christian and not repent of your sins. One must repent and come to God as a sinner, or you'll never keep it. You can't keep your sin and have Christ. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in God's kingdom. It's like trying to ride two horses, or ride two cars. You can't do it. Going in the opposite direction. Sinners must turn and repent. And you must believe that he is. If you believe that he is, why are you not repenting? And the reason is, you see, is it is a willful unbelief. And pray that God will break your heart and subdue your heart and bring you to the Lord Jesus. The only reason why you're not a Christian is you've not repented. You might admire like this woman, sing the praises of the Lord Jesus, and your friends will talk about Lord Jesus in a disparaging way, but you will not hear it. But you're still not a Christian. Like this woman. It's a terrible thing, young people, to know the truth and to see the truths about Christ and not to keep his word, not to obey it. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. You see, when we repent, by grace God comes and he cleanses us and he gives us a new heart to keep his word. Blessed are they that hear his word and keep it. I fear for some here, you're like this woman, full of praise for the Lord Jesus. You've grown up with him in your home, in your family. You may even pay lip service. You're full of praise for him, but your heart is far from him. It's a terrible state to be in. To see the truth and not to turn to the truth. Well, may God, young people, open you not just to have an admiration for Christ. It's a good thing that you admire Christ. Please don't get me wrong, but it's a terrible thing. You know, even the devils recognized him when he went out to cast the demons out of that man, Legion, and others. They said, what wouldst thou do with us, Jesus, the Son of the living God? How terrible the heart is, resistant to God. Now you bow down and honour him. And I tell you where you must begin. By bowing down and repenting that you are a sinner. And then he will give you power to hear his word and to keep it. Amen.